Can you hear me now? Amen. Yes. Welcome to Lake Texoma. Amen. Baptist Youth Camp, this is the entrance to the camp. And there's, you see the tabernacle in the background there. It's an open-air tabernacle. And then you can see the lake also in the background. It's a beautiful lake just right there, Lake Texoma. And just still waiting for the next. There we go. Dear Mom and Dad, you can read that. We had a great time at camp this year. The trip was not so bad. It was only about 2 hours to camp. When we got there, we moved into our cabins and went out to play. I was able to take some pictures. Here we go. We were placed into teams, the stock cars and the Indy cars. All of us ended up on the stock car teams. Amen. Yes. And we had fun with that. There's the giant ball of death. And I tell you what, those kids would be going back and forth, and that thing would go in full blast, and it'd run over a kid, and he'd look like that cartoon, laid him out, you know, just flattened out, and it was great. And it was just fun to be, just kind of watch the kids get laid out by this giant ball of death. It was great. Had fun with that. And then they had corner football, and I think Zachary Hayes shined in this one. And one of the kids got a shiner in it, and got, yeah, one of the Graff boys. And the girls played water volleyball and did not play it in a pool, but you had water balloons that you tossed across and tried to catch it. And there's my wife trying to catch one, and I don't know if she was successful or not. And on the side, we were throwing water balloons at each other, and then I became a target. I don't know why, but the kids were trying to douse me with water balloons. I was all innocent. And then here's the boys. We got this thing is called the Tube Wars. And they just get these inner tubes and they put them in the middle, and these boys go out and they try to grab them. And then kids are being dragged across the ground, and they're all just getting filthy and dirty. They get up with, they go in with blue shirts, they come out with brown shirts, and it's great. It's a lot of fun. Boys could get to be boys. And then there's, I don't know, is that Nathan? Billy, being dogpiled, and I don't know who that other kid is, but they get the ball, and this is corner football, and they get the football, and it's just they try to get to the ball, and all the kids are on top. You have other kids pulling kids off, and you have other kids trying to get in. It's awesome just to sit on the sidelines and watch. It's a blessing. See, there's JR right there, and the kids are trying to get to the ball. And I don't know if JR is trying to witness to the boy or not, but either way, JR is in on the action. Amen. And then these boys are just going to be like boys. There's somebody's pulling Zachary Hayes off, and a kid's like glue. He's going to be on that ball, and they had to pull him off of it. And he got a big old mark on his arm, you know, souvenirs from camp, and it was good. And he didn't like losing, but he didn't give up either, and I appreciated that. That was awesome. Sports do teach you some things about life. And then there's the girls can be rough too, and I guess that's right. They just put these tubes on, and they run at each other, and they try to knock each other down, and they try to be – I don't know if the girl – I don't know if they were – were they being delicate about it, or were they really – no, they'd ram each other. The claws came out. Amen. And but they had to get – now – I rest my case. I rest my case. Look at that picture. I'm going to take you down. You're going down. All I can say is wow. Amen. And the girls played some circle soccer, just some games to that they played, and I had no idea what that game was. I didn't see, but there's Laura right there, and I don't know who else is in the background. And here's Skylie picking her nose, and... oh no, that wasn't that was another picture, I guess, but they had to eat cookies, and it was Laugh Olympics. They had to lick all the Oreo stuff off the cookies and then eat the cookie, and they had so many they had to eat, and it was pretty funny to watch them do that. And my next one's favorite, there's Nathan. They had to eat rice, turkey and rice baby food, and you can tell by the look on Nathan's face he really wanted seconds. And They said to this Laugh Olympics that if you drop any on the floor, you have to eat it.
That's a lie.
Well, he dropped a lot on the floor, but somehow he got out of trying to eat it. And he was digging his fingers in there. It was all over his fingers, all over his face. And yeah, it was pretty. The girls, I didn't agree with this. The girls had like cranberry and cinnamon. Cinnamon raisin. I would eat that. Anyway, turkey and rice. So they like to have fun. Here's some other pictures and the boys and the girls there. And I guess that's Rebecca and Laura and Skyly in the background, or Samantha in the background there. And then made some new friends. Here's some one of the teams that they had, the Stock 2, Team 2 there. And it was a good team. They dominated. There's Miss Gabby. She goes to Trinity and made friends with our girls there. And she was a great counselor. And let's see, what else we got here? Oh, and I almost forgot, we were judged on how clean that our cabins were. Now, what you're looking at to the left there is my wife and two other ladies that are in the boys' dorms inspecting the dorms and everything. And there were certain criteria that you'd have to go through to be able to earn points in cleanliness. And what made up for cleanliness is bribery. And we kept getting like a 3 and a 5. And so I said, man, we're going to go all out. So we cleaned our dorm. We made it look all uniformed. We had to get Brother Dylan in on this. And, man, and I won't go any further on that one. But so I laid out all of our goods that we had. There was pickles. There were cheese balls, water, crackers, everything. And then I left for my wife this little chocolate heart on the deal there, and I left the other ladies some mints and those kinds of things. I like to let everybody know we got a 10 that day. Amen. Amen. We got a 10. You can buy points. All right. And then the best part was the preaching. We had each night, each preacher preached. Brother Graff of Victory Baptist Church preached Monday night about the green flag. I preached Tuesday night about the yellow flag, the caution flag. Brother York of Lakeland Street Baptist Church, he preached on the red flag. Yeah, the red flag. And then Brother Raspberry preached about the white flag and the checkered flag on Thursday night. It was good. The preaching was good. You can see the kids down there on the left. They're already at the altar and praying and making decisions. There's our boys preaching. And Billy's up there, and you got Jeremy Jr. you got JR, and they both did very, very well. There was comments from other churches of how well that our kids did, and there's Zachary. We didn't bring a whole lot to camp as far as number-wise, but we had the most preacher boys there. And they were surprised, and they were wondering how many of them are boys. And I said, well, they're all boys. I mean, we don't have any girl preacher boys. But they did good. I was very proud of our boys and how they preached and held themselves. And they didn't just read it. They preached. And they did really good. And so I was proud of them. Here were the decisions at the altars, people being prayed with. There's nothing like going to camp and during the altar time, seeing kids come down, making decisions. And it's just what a blessing that is. If you don't get to come to camp any other time, come on Thursday night. And that's a great time. And then you have this. We have spirit time, and there's Miss Christine's true self coming out. And and we're singing the song where the little devil, what is the song? Oh, In Right Out Right, yeah. And we had a good time with that, and that's... one of the counselors to the left right there. And we had a real good time with that. And then there we had different sessions during the time called Sunshine Time where we just had different preachers or youth pastors just teach different lessons. And it was a good time. And it was all centered around the camp theme of racing. And it was really, really good. Matter of fact, what I'm preaching tonight, I've stole from Brother Raspberry. It's one of his lessons in the book. And it's a real good lesson. I want you to get a taste of what we got at camp as well. And let's see what else. It did end very fast. It was a long week, but it was a good week. And it was one of those things where it's glad to get home, but at the same time, you really wanted to stick around for the fellowship. And who here has never been to camp? But senior camp, junior camp, any kind of camp. Oh, you guys are missing it. You need to really come. It's amazing because it's concentrated. There's no TV. You know, you'll have some phones here and there for people that have to take care of business. But on the other hand, the kids don't have any phones. There's no Xbox or none of that kind of stuff. I'd really urge you. It's only a couple hours away. It would be worth it to come on a Tuesday or a Thursday and just to come see and get a feel for camp, meet the people, see the kids, to see 100-something kids, you know, come down and make decisions for the Lord. Kind of gives you some hope for our future as a country. and it was a blessing. What's that? Oh, yeah, the with the chest bump or the song? We'll show them both. Go ahead and play the song, brother. Go ahead and play the song.
Better watching it backwards. It was great. Well, also, we got camp video. I want to get some testimonies from our campers. So campers, y'all go ahead and come sit on the front row. And when we get done with that, we'll have our preachers will get up and preach a few minutes. And did you wash that thing?
Yes.
You did?
As I told you, I got so much sand, so much sweat.
Wow. All right, we're gonna have we're gonna start with our kids. Skylie, just y'all go ahead and come. Y'all work your way down this way, and then Rebecca, and then Zach, and we'll get our adults. You guys, y'all come on ahead. What's that? Come and give your testimony. Come on.
Just tell them. Lee said I had fun.
Yeah, Lee said.
I would like to say that she has not washed her shirt yet.
I forgot. When we were in the restrooms, every girl would not go to sleep. Sarah would get up while they were dead asleep, and she would come over to our room, and Sarah's like, nah, 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 nah. And then she took my flashlight and started pointing it at all of us. And then Rebecca got up and said, Sarah. So she dropped my flashlight, and it rolled all the way over to Laura's bed, so I had to get up and reach for it. But Sarah's the main reason why I had fun, because she was making everything a joke. I mean, everything. She made cheese balls a joke. She made pickles a joke. She made everything a joke for some reason. I don't know why. I decided to ask Lord if I could please, if he would please lead me back on the right path and have a more better life with my mom.
Amen. You're next.
No. I like to say I had lots of fun, and Skyly was right. Sarah was one of the main reasons we had lots of fun in the girls' dorm. She'd be running around and making jokes, crazy little jokes. And we had lots of fun this year. One of my decisions was to appreciate my parents more, and the second one was during Brother Raspberry's night. He talked about Samson and Samuel, how Samuel was, he was talking about the black flag and the checkered flag, and how you'd expect Samuel to end under the black flag, and which means disqualification, because he had Eli, and his sons were sons of Baal. They were worshiping Baal. So you expect him to go under the black flag, but no, he finished under the checkered flag. And Brother Raspberry talked about pushing the limits of sin, and how Samson pushed the limits of sin, and he ended under the black flag, how you'd expect him to end under the checkered flag. And I made a decision to, that night I made a decision to not push the limits of sin. And we learned lots of verses at camp. Sunshine Time was really fun too. We got split up into the teams. Luckily, we all ended up on the stock car teams, so that was really fun. And Laura was on stock one. I was on stock two. Yeah, everyone else on the stock cars was stock car two for the girls, and then JR and Zachary were on stock six. Nathan was stock four, and Billy and Jake and Brother Brian and Pastor and Brother Dylan were all stock five. Yeah, so we had lots of fun. We learned new songs, and I was really impressed of our choir. It was really fun.
Amen.
I look forward to going back next year.
I look forward to it. Wait, are we going back next year?
I had a really good time, and camp was lots of fun, and there was lots of decisions made, and I made a decision to surrender to full-time Christian service, and I like the staff and the spirit, and I want to thank Brother Brian, Miss Christine, and my mom and dad, Brother Dylan, and all y'all's prayers. Thank you.
On one of the games, Giant Ball of Death, and so I'd be a little bit scared of the giant ball because I was afraid if it would fall on me and I would be straight out flat. We had lots of fun, and while Zachary was gone from his bed, I would try to turn on his flashlight, but he would come back mad at me.
The giant ball of death is about this high from the floor. And I nearly got paralyzed on my top of my head by someone's chin. There was this big guy. He rammed into the ball. My head flew back, and it hit someone's chin. And if you felt my head, you could feel a big bump there. There was another time when I felt and I thought my head got crushed. Because the biggest guy, the ball already ran over me, and the biggest guy fell on my head. And it hurt. There's this game called Battle Ball. It's kind of dodgeball. Yeah. Just the name changed. But there, we get in this basketball court. It has a regular circle in the middle and a regular line going across. But the line that splits the basketball court, they have four halves. So half of us got in one half, half of us got in the other. And I got out a lot of times. But I made to control my temper, to be more patient, and to love my mom and dad more. And there's this one kid. He said 150 verses. Of course, that was all the verses. Adam. His name is Adam. There was this other girl. She said 57 verses. And Adam was on my team. And camp was fun, and I look forward to going to it next year. Can't wait.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
The one thing I can say about the boys' dorms, anything that happened in the boys' dorms was I found out how big Brother Chris was. And I need to tell you that the only reason I fell backwards is because I don't know why I did this, but you see, I did this and pretty much sprung myself backwards. The dumbest move I've ever made. The dumbest move I've ever made. Oh my word. That was very dumb. Well, he did say one thing true about the giant ball of death. That could flatten you out. Me and Zachary pretty much got tangled in each other, and then it's like the giant ball gets closer. And both of us, before I knew what was happening, I did one of the best moves I did at camp. I rolled right over Zach, and I hope your head's okay, because are you going to kill me? I'm going to be running away after this. Okay, so, because I don't want to get killed, but anyway. Anyway, me and Zach had a lot of fun together. I don't know why I did this, but I was up on his bunk waiting for the, devotions. And I just looked down his back. I started rubbing his back. He's like, "Ah, oh, that's the spot." Like, I just started rubbing his back. I don't know, but all I have to say is about to war was we ate dirt. I mean sand. Of course, with my sister, you have to be so specific. We ate sand. And I'm surprised. I don't know why, but it seemed like the Indy cars, the Indy 6, I think it was, they must love dirt so much. Trying to tackle Zach, they must have ate so much dirt. They must have ate enough dirt that it would have been all the food we could. It would have amounted to all the food we could eat in the Marriage Lands. The.
As you did go to the church, yeah. Let me explain what I mean. As you did, we're supposed to learn verse.
About 13 of them. Well, There's a lot of stuff I could go into. I'm just going to let Nathan and Zach have a little bit of time.
My favorite thing about camp was the giant ball. I bust my lip open, and it's so fat I could really talk. It's the preaching was good, and the decision I made was to obey my parents better. And I just hope I don't get killed on two word again.
I honestly don't know where to start. There were so many fun things to do, and there were so many funny things that I could talk about. But one of the funniest things I saw was Nathan eating baby food. That was funny. JR was on stock 6, and Nathan's on stock 5. So JR's over here. He's eating it, and he's just chunking it down, sticking his fingers in there, licking it. And Nathan's over here, and I thought he'd love food, because he does. And he's over here, he goes, he's making all these funny faces. And it was so funny. You should have saw the look on his face. Brother Winkle's right. He just loved it and adored it. Oh, and it might not look like I washed this, but I did wash it. I was literally all the activity time, I had my face stuck in the dirt. I would get down there and tackle people. And on the first thing of football, I tackled this one person the first play. Like, yeah, I tackled him. And then Brother Combs goes, now you got to take the ball away from him. I'm like, take the ball away from him? I've never heard football like that. And so I get down in there and I take it, and then this big fat kid, me and him had a tussle. It was always I get the ball and somebody might tackle me, and then he'd plop on top of me, and all the Indians would surround us watching the show. And the stock cars would huddle around them, going, all right, where's the ball? Where's the ball? I need to get the ball. And they would not do anything. So me and him would be at it, we're pulling. Some credit. Okay, I'll give you some credit. Every now and then, Greg was one of the biggest guy on the team. He would pull a few people off. I saw a few people being thrown off. But for the majority of the time, it was me down in the dirt, a fat kid on top of me, and all the Indies around me. And I just did not like that. And then the last game of football, I really got mad. I just started, all right, give me the ball. I'm taking it to the touchdown. I got the ball. I ran past these two people. And you can ask Nathan. He saw it. I ran past these two people. I stiff-armed another. And then I saw a fat kid coming. I'm like, oh, yeah? Zigzagged the other way. Outran him, threw it, and hopped over the line in midair, threw it. Complete touchdown. I collapsed. I could not get up. My stomach was completely empty. Yes, I did. I made three. To obey my parents more, to try and get more opportunities to preach and never waste an opportunity to preach, and to have a better relationship with my parents.
I had fun at camp, and I'm not going to tell you all the things that happened in the girls' dorm, because what happens in the girls' dorm should stay in the girls' dorm. And I did make a decision to be a better soul winner, because when Brother York preached, he told a story at the end of his sermon. He had just gotten to church, and he wanted to look for some opportunities to be a soul winner. And so this young man, who was a visitor, and he said, I should go witness to him. But he listened to the devil more, and the devil said, no, you can do it later. You can tell him on Tuesday night or Thursday night. And so he said, yeah, I could do that. So he would get the visitor card on Tuesday night or Thursday night and go visit him. Well, Tuesday or Monday, they got a phone call, and it was his sister. And his sister said, "I want you to pray for us. My brother was just shot and killed." And he said that he carried that guilt around for a long time before he got done. So I made the decision to be a better soul winner, because you don't know if that person's going to die or get killed, and you don't know if they're saved or not, so it's better to go to them. And before I go, I'd like to ask Brother McDaniels, Miss Christine, come up here. I want to thank Brother Brian and Miss Christine for being good counselors and for driving the bus 2 hours there and 2 hours back, and for putting up with us girls in the dorm. I want to thank you very much.
Come on, you're up here.
Okay, junior camp isn't just for the juniors. It's for the adults, too. And I cried almost every single day, all day long. It was crazy. I'm like, why am I crying? But the lady teachers and the preachers were wonderful. I mean, they hit home. We needed every bit of what they taught and preached. So it's very good. If y'all get a chance to go next year, y'all really need to go.
Amen. Amen.
Good job, Mommy. Go, Daddy.
Well, I definitely was a camp. It was actually a return to a bunch of friends that I haven't seen in a while. The camp was run by Trinity Baptist Church, and I thoroughly enjoyed watching a lot of the kids that are now teenagers and young adults that used to be campers when I first started. So it was a blessing for me on that point. I'm sure the kids did a little bit more than what they've said in the realm of decisions. They're just keeping it to themselves. And we were there, I took the pictures, and we also have the cards, guys, so we know. There's, I think junior camp's so important because we isolate everything from the kids. And there's no TV, there's no outside influence. From 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, they're busy doing something. And there's a challenge I put to all the kids here. Y'all need to do a lot more verses than what you did this year. Adam Hall did all the verses in the book, which was 150. And every year I've seen, when I've done it with this format, and that this is the book right here. They have lessons in here. They get points for that, and the teams get points based upon that. So all the field games, you can win every game you can. But if everyone on your team did three verses, come the score time the next morning, you'll find out that you're behind. Even though you were the best sports and athletics, they don't count that. Now, on an interesting note, I like to put things in the realm of how the devil likes to fight. We got here early on Monday morning, and I thought we had plenty of time to get things going, and hopped in the bus. And I just had the lights checked, fuel checked, everything ready to go. I hopped in it, turned the key, and nothing happened. And I got on the phone to our wonderful missionary, Elmer Barlow, and I said, "There's something wrong with the bus. If you get a chance, well, I'm working on trying to get the other buses going to camp. If I need to, I'll bring a bus to you." We kept playing with it, and I ended up having to crawl underneath and kick-start in the starter to get it going. We thought that was the end of the headaches we had, but on the way to camp, going through Fort Worth, I had a pickup that dropped his load right in front of us on the highway. And grabbing a fistful of brakes, I wasn't too worried about missing the load, but the 18-wheeler that was behind us that was trying to stop us fast, I was more worried about him ending our trip early. But we were able to swerve around that at the last minute, and the 18-wheeler just missed the load as well. And I believe the devil was just trying to stop us from going to camp. But if I were to say anything to you, I appreciate your investment and what you've done for the kids and your time. And I challenge you to come up. In the days prior, we used to go to Pot of Gold or Camp John David up in Oklahoma, and that's a 5-6 hour drive. Now, it really is less than 2 hours. It was wonderful to get up there and in no time flat, get busy into the camp scene. And, you know, I'm not saying to spend the whole week there, but, again, Thursday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, fantastic nights to come. Yeah, they talked about all the games and everything, but you really get to see the preaching. You know, it's about half and half, the study time, the preaching time, the sunshine time, and the spirit time, half and half. We got times where they're doing games, the other half they're really into the Bible, they're really into the lessons, they're really into what they're trying to isolate the kids from the world and teach them just Bible, Bible, Bible. So I challenge anybody here, come with us next year. You'll enjoy it.
Sir, another day. Huh? Yeah, thank you. Well, camp was a blessing. It was a blessing to go with the kids and everything and to bond with, you know, the people that we already are close with and everything this week. And it was fun to see all the kids and, you know, watching them. It was very fun to watch them play battle ball as much as they were playing it. So it was pretty funny just watching little kids bounce off and they're running back and forth and you're telling them to go, get up and, you know, keep on going. But it makes them into what a man needs to be, you know, going through all those things. And I really appreciated this camp. This year we had a good spirit. Well, they said it last when we had the camp for the teens last time, that they would sing to us like when we're eating and stuff. And probably the coolest thing was it was probably maybe like Wednesday or something. We started singing, everybody in the cafeteria, so it was just like really loud and like I think we're singing on the winning side or something like that. It was a blessing. I enjoyed it a lot, and the stars are awesome out there. I always check that out. Besides, like here, because we have all the light pollution. But it was pretty nice going out there and the lake and everything else. And it was good preaching and good points. And, you know, it wasn't just for the juniors. You know, I got something out of those things too, that we do need to, you know, continue in the race and things like that, what they were talking about this week. And I think our preacher for preaching on Tuesday did a good message, and so is the rest of the preachers and everything. And it was a blessing. I look forward to going back to the same camp, and hopefully we'll go back there again. And because it was a good camp, it was very good. But it was a little hot, but it was all right. We're not there the whole summer, but it was a blessing. But thank y'all for your prayers and for everything that y'all did for the camp and to help us get there. Appreciate it. Thank you,
brother. Would you shut that door right there, please? Thank you. What was even more fun than watching the kids was watching Brother Dylan.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Hope you don't mind, brother. It doesn't matter if you do or not. If I say the word Twitter-pated, who knows what I'm talking about? Amen. This man is Twitter-pated. And good. She's a good, godly young lady, and I thank God that he found someone that would even like him. And that's good. Amen, brother. And but the whole time he was just... He was way up here. Just one thing. He was the coach of Stock 5. Stock 5 won, by the way. Yeah. And there was one night where he was, one afternoon, we were playing Tube Wars, and his mind was not on coaching. I mean, his back was over here. He was looking at some other things, writing some things down, and I'm just staring at him. He turned around and looked at me. Oh, I'm sorry, preacher. I said, man, it's all right. We got this. It was fun to watch him. It was great. And listen, I really do appreciate you going and just being there with the boys and taking care of those things. And I really do appreciate you two. You know, you guys were a great blessing. And it's nice to have folks that are willing to serve and willing to go and don't mind spending their time, spending their effort, and getting in the hot sun. And I like what you said. I don't remember when you said it, but camp's not about us. It's about the kids. And you go in and you're spending your time for the kids. It was really good. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. All right. Well, we got our, if y'all can take it, we got maybe a few more minutes. We got some preachers that are going to get up and preach tonight. We're going to do it in the same order. Billy, you're going to be first. And then it's going to be JR. And then Zachary, you're going to wrap it up with your dirty shirt. All right. Yeah, it's just stained. Nothing you can do about it. Amen. Well, come on, preach to us, Billy. By the way, they'll be preaching the same thing that they preached while at camp. Yeah, don't get up and mess around. Get up and preach.
Turn in your Bibles today, if you have them. Turn in your Bibles today to Genesis 33, 1, 2, and...
9,
and 11. Probably already there. It says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. Thank you. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindered most. So Jacob sees Esau coming. He's mad. Y'all know the story. Esau's mad at Jacob. Well, you see, Esau, he thinks, Jacob thinks Esau's going to kill him because Esau got mad. And he sees him coming up with 400 men. And he thought he was going to die. So, let's look at verse 9. Oh, wait. Verse 5. Says, and he, let's talk about Esau. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and children and said, who are these? And he said, the children which God had graciously given us in mints. Let's go to verse 9. It says, and Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep thou hast unto myself. Now let's move to verse 11. It says, take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously in me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. My sermon today is going to be about forgiveness. Esau forgave Jacob. He took his birthright. He took his inheritance, as you would say. Well, just like Esau forgave Jacob, God forgave me. God forgave me when I knelt at my living room couch and I asked God to save my soul. He forgave me, just like Esau forgave Jacob in this passage right here, in this good story that Jesus wrote. Well, God forgave the saved people in this room right now. Not saying when anyone's not saved, but God forgave the saved people. God forgave the lost people. All they have to do is accept. It's not a joke. Forgiveness is a real thing. I know some people act like it's a joke and they forget about forgiving someone, but we should remember. We should remind the people out on earth that they're forgiven. And that Jesus forgave them. Forgiveness is the key to happiness. That's my sermon tonight.
Amen.
Right, if you have your Bibles today, can you turn with me to Hebrews 11:1? My sermon today is going to be on our inheritance in heaven. Y'all would probably be there by the time I get there. Okay, now I'm there. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And now faith is the substance, is that key phrase there. As Brother Billy said, forgiveness is not a joke. And some people forget about that. I don't know if I believe I'm right, but if I believe I'm right, but if I'm wrong, correct me after church. The Bible, I believe, it says that if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And so right here, we're talking, the faith is talking about salvation, forgiveness. And when we have that faith, we have that inheritance, that substance and things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That the first time I read this, I read it over and over again. It really puzzled me to think the evidence of things not seen. Then I realized that must mean the faith is the substance, and you get that substance in heaven by having faith in receiving Jesus Christ. One day, as a 4-year-old boy, I was in children's church. My dad was preaching that day. God spoke to my heart. And I'd been trying to push this off, but he had been, "Hey, need to get saved. Need to get saved. Let me in." The Holy Spirit knocked on the door. "Let me in. You need to get saved." I finally had came in, and my dad took me back to the back hallway, right back there. And there, nearly kneeling in tears, I got saved. That means a lot to me. And by going to Chicago when I'm older, I hope to spread that word, because there are some people that I know would love to have that the same opportunity I had.
That's right.
And I can guarantee you, they wouldn't turn it away like I tried to. They wouldn't. Some people in the world, they don't have a Bible.
Right.
And sometimes we have 5 or 6 laying at home, and we take them for granted. When they pray for God's word every day. And when they finally get one, they'll hug it, they'll love on it, they'll actually read it every day. I mean, we take it for granted. I don't know, but something's not right there. We ought to appreciate our Bibles. We ought to appreciate forgiveness. That I got forgiven. And I know those people would love to be forgiven. Some of them even don't even know they can be forgiven. They think, I done this thing. Well, I guess I'm going to go to hell. They don't know that they can be forgiven. Some people don't even know about heaven and hell. Well, I don't know, but when I grow up, and even now, I'm going to stand in the way, and I'm going to be like Brother Sam Ward. You want to go to hell, and you're in Chicago while I'm there? I'm going to try to make it. You're going to have to go through me. You're going to have to say, no, you're going to have to get past me. I don't think we should. Samson, we push the limits of sin. When we have a Bible sitting right in front of us that says, thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not lie. When those people over there, they're actually trying to push themselves away. They're being like Samuel. They're just trying their best to push away that sin. And they don't have a Bible right in front of them. Some of them, I decided to say, don't have a mom and dad. Telling them, don't do that. I've been through this before. Don't do that. Some of them don't have that. Yet some of us,
And I'm preaching to myself as much as I'm preaching to you. Some of us take that for granted. I think that should change. Because, yeah, I'm glad that they have a fire, but there's something wrong when people in China are begging God for a Bible, and then they get it, and they love on it. They love it. They actually read it every day, and they don't care if somebody sees them. But we live in a free country. We can carry our Bible around. But, oh, somebody might see me. Somebody might laugh at me. Well, good. People might laugh at you, but at least they noticed you. At least they listened to you. See, the only reason they laugh at you is because they heard what you said. And they think it's silly and a joke. But I want to look back at that first part. They heard what you said. And now, God is perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. And I believe that. So, their blood won't be on my hands. If they say, well, nobody told me, well, you ran into Brother J.R. Bingham right here, and he told you about Jesus. You passed him by. It's your fault. And I don't know about you. You're going to have to get past. Someday when I grow up, those people in Chicago are going to have to get past me.
Amen. That's good.
I really liked what JR was saying. Isn't it great that he was crying in front of him, and he wasn't embarrassed, and he wasn't trying to hold it back? Yeah. And then tears. It's great to know that you're in a church where people shed their tears for Jesus Christ. Now, if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now I want to look at, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? We, my friends, are running in a race, whether you like it or not. Jesus has put us in a race in the fact that if we're saved, we're running to try to get other people to get saved. And if we're unsaved, we're trying to run and get away from Jesus and try to live our own and try to get to heaven on the wrong way. And I think that we need to accept Jesus and try to tell other people about God, because there is people that do not know about God, especially in America. Now, I don't see how America... You go back the time of Jamestown and all them places. Everybody had a Bible, and they were escaping England to try to carry this Bible in their hands. They wanted this Bible, the King James Version Bible. They didn't want the NIV or the New King James Version. They wanted the King James Version, the true Bible, the only Bible there is. They didn't want to walk around saying, hey, did you hear about that new Bible? I think I might read that. I think I might see what it says. No, they wanted to go to their church and learn and preach and teach about the one true Bible. They wanted to run a race for Christ. They wanted to serve their Lord. And back then, they didn't say, oh, well, there's so many people. I don't think I want to go. I mean, I'm not going to win anybody. I'm not sure I'll really make it. I would rather to be out soul winning and not get anybody saved and witness to people rather than sit on the couch and watch TV all day. Because one, it doesn't turn your mind into mush.
And two, their blood will not be on your hands.
That's good preaching.
Their blood will not be on your hands. And I would love to get to heaven. And some person, I'd actually love it if some person got saved because of me. But I'd love it even, but I'd love it if somebody said, well, nobody told me. And he said, my son Zachary preached to you and you didn't accept. You didn't accept. That blood is not going to be on my hands. I want no blood to be on my hands. I want to get every opportunity to preach and every opportunity to stand and witness to people and say, hey, the Lord will come again. Hey, you need to get saved. Hey, you're doing wrong. Hey, you need to believe in the Lord.
Amen.
If we can get people, train them up, let them go and serve the Lord. If we can get people to go soul winning, if we can get people to teach, and we can get people to preach, what would America be like? What would America be like? Just try to think for a moment. If a church reaches 10 souls a year, how many souls would that add up to in 10 years? 100. What if them people went out and reached 10 souls a year? The numbers just keep climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing. Most Christians say, oh, I'll go to church, I'll serve the Lord, I'll do this. That's good enough for now. I mean, I don't want to be like some fancy Christians that wear the nice suit and the go out and so on and think they're all perfect and this, that, and the other. We ought not be the Christians that think we're all perfect and try to puff ourselves up and look all this, that, and the other. But we ought to go and try and serve the Lord.
Amen. I won't keep you too much longer. I'll see if I can keep this under 11 minutes. Amen. And I'm proud of our boys. I want to show you something unique about our church. Who here, whether you're an adult or a child, has surrendered to full-time service or you have surrendered to preach? Raise your hand. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 people. They were shocked when we only brought 8 kids, and they were asking for how many, who's got preacher kids? Oh, we got 1, we got 2. I said, we got 4. What? I don't know why God is using this place to call out, you know, preachers and servants, and I'll take it. We'll take it. You know what? If God wants to use this, and listen, if we only reach 80 or 100 people, but we put out servants of God, praise be to God. It don't matter if we get to 200, 300, 400, 500. That's fine. Hey, if we just put out servants of God and we get, you know, churches getting started, and we put out missionaries, thank God for that. That was all free, by the way.
Parents,
all the ones that said, the kid said, I want to obey my mom and dad better, I've got it in writing. It is right here with their names, and so you can frame it and say, you see this right here? Amen. So we've got these. Amen. There's proof. And one of the lessons that was taught by Brother Raspberry, and he has a donkey, by the way, at his place, and he's got the donkey right here. And the name's Jack. But I think it's affectionately called Hillary. And amen. But if you would, one of the verses that was mentioned many times during this week was Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read that for you. And I just keep in mind, the whole theme for the week was racing. And it had stock cars in the Indies and all the flags and then the pace cars and everything, the pit stops, and everything was likened unto our spiritual life. And it was really a great week, great lessons that were behind it. And one of the verses that kept coming up was Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I imagine us running this race, driving the race, if you will, and in the grandstands are all the people that have gone on before us. What they see, I don't know, brother. We've not talked about this. I don't know what they get to see, what God shows them. I have no idea. All I know is the Bible says we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. So I know it's not just the angels, and I know it's not just God watching us. Hey, listen, Samuel's up there watching us. Loved ones that have gone on before us are watching us. And I can imagine them cheering us on, you know, and say, keep going, don't stop, keep the faith, go, go, go. I can just see them cheering us on. I wonder what heaven's like. You know, I just imagine what it's like. I wonder if they got little rally flags in it. Woo! And they turn your hats inside out and we're rallying now, brother. Amen. I don't know what it's like, but I do know we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses because we're running a race and there's people watching. You know, when I was in high jump in high school, in track, I did high jump because I didn't want to run. I hated running. And so I chose to do high jump. And it turned out I was okay at it. I jumped 6'10". And I got first place in 1A schools in all of Texas. But one of the best parts about it, and it's maybe a little vain, by the way, but, you know, people were cheering you on and saying, go, yeah, and that's good, woo! You know, and, man, that just pushed you. And, man, when you're playing basketball or football and you got the people in the stands just cheering you on, they're your team, that just urges you to go that extra mile, to go even further when you don't feel like it, when you're just about to cough your lungs up because it's in the fourth quarter and you're just dying and people are cheering you on. You've got to keep going because you don't want to disappoint them. And you just go and you go and you go. Let me tell you, we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Don't give up now. Don't give in. You know, when you're running a race, we have any runners in here? Anybody that was in track? Yeah, all you kids, raise your hand. All right. When is it you give it your all? When? Last lap. We call it, you know, kick it. You kick it in. The last run, you kick it and you just give it everything you got. You don't give everything you got at the very beginning. You want to conserve your energy. And listen, at the very last, you kick it in. What are we in right now? We're in the last days. It's time to kick it in. It's time to give it all we've got. It's time to not stop. Because we have all those hosts that have gone on before us. They're in the grandstands cheering us on, saying, it's not too much longer. Keep going. Keep going. Woo! Run the race. Keep winning them. Keep reading. Keep giving. We're running a race. Don't give up. Just when you feel like, man, I just want to throw the towel in. I know how you feel. I want to throw the towel in several times. Get up the next day and you keep going. Man, when you feel like you're getting kicked when you're down, you get right back up. You keep going. You keep going. You don't give up. You don't give in. Now listen, there is no pain. There's no gain. You got to play hurt sometimes. I had a guy one time when I was in basketball, and we were playing, and man, he just got, man, clobbered. It was awesome. And he got clobbered good. And he was over there laid out, and the coach runs over there, and he looks up, Coach, how's the crowd taking it? Man, no, that's vain. But listen, I've played hurt, man. I get in there, and we had played six-man or eight-man football. Anybody ever done that? Oh, man, you're the water boy, you're the special teams, you're the defense, you're the offense, and sometimes you're even the cheerleaders. And but I didn't wear the skirt, amen. And but listen, you had to play. It's like you had no choice. If you're hurt, you got to go in because you're it. And let me tell you, we're playing six-man ball. We don't have a full team all the time. And when somebody gets hurt, you still got to play. You still got to go. You got to play hurt sometimes. Hey, listen, guys, when you want to provide for your family and you're hurt, you still go to work because you got to play. You got to get in and you got to do because you have someone depending on you. We've got someone depending on us. We have to play hurt sometimes. Let me tell you, life hurts. A devil will kick you. People will stab you in the back. The ministry is full of heartache. But let me tell you, it's full of joy as well. Man, there's some good stuff. Adult woman coming down and getting saved. Amen. That makes it worth it. Man coming back, bringing his family. That makes it worth it. A couple we visited 2-3 weeks ago finally come and they sit down. They enjoyed it and plan on coming back. That makes it worth it. Amen. Keep playing. Keep going. Don't give up. over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. I want to read to you. It says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables." Am I reading the right one? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. All right, I'm going to keep going. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing." I was going to give you one of the lessons in here, but listen, I'm out of time. I don't want to keep y'all, but let me just tell you this. Time's growing close. Jesus is coming back. We're in the final lap, and it's time to kick it in. It's time to go soul winning when you can go. And if you can't go, you pray. Listen, it's time to give. It's time to go. It is time to get into the game and stop sitting on the sidelines. Don't ride the bench. Don't be a bench warmer. Man, get in the race. You ever seen the kid who played sports? "Coach, put me in. Coach, put me in. Coach, I want to play. I could have made that play. Coach, put me in." Listen, get in the game. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't be a spectator. Get in and go and work and do and give and win. And don't stop until Jesus comes back. We're in the last days. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming back soon. Everything points to it. Now is not the time to sit on your hands. Now is not the time to be a bench rider. Now is the time to get in the game. And listen, you raise your hand and say, "Coach, put me in." I guarantee you, you're going in. You're going in the game. And there's plenty of spots and plenty of places for you to be and to serve and to do. All you got to do is be willing and be available. We're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know what, when I was playing sports, one of the things that I never wanted to do is, number one, I didn't want to disappoint my coach because he invested a lot of time into me. I didn't want to disappoint my teammates because they were depending on me. And I didn't want to disappoint the crowd that came to watch us play because they expect a good game. Listen, I don't want to disappoint my coach. I don't want to disappoint my teammates. And I don't want to disappoint the crowd that's watching me. Listen, I know we use the word game. But this is life we're talking about, life and death situations. People dying and going to hell. I do not want to disappoint my Savior. I do not want to disappoint you. Because you're my teammates. And I don't want to disappoint that crowd that's up there watching, cheering us on. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Don't give up. Lord, we ask you to please bless us tonight. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for these three young men that have surrendered their life to preach and so many others in this church that have surrendered their life to you for whatever it is that you want them to do. Thank you, God, that there are still people that are willing to do whatever it is that you want them to do. As I hear my Lord, send me. Lord, I pray that you'd call out more servants of God out of this church and other churches of like faith. I pray, God, that you'd call more people to just drive a bus or teach a Sunday school class or to get in and play a piano or do whatever it is that you want to do. They would just surrender their lives to do it. Lord, I know we're in the last days. I believe it with all my heart. Lord, now is the time to kick it in. I pray that you'd please give us the strength, the courage, and the tenacity to see through what it is you've called us to do. Please, God, help us. If we do not have your help, we can't do it. Lord, when I was 16, I said, "Lord, put me in the game. I want to play." And Lord, you put me in. Thank you so much. Lord, I never want to be a castaway. I don't want to be put on the sidelines because I'm not playing. Lord, please help us. Please help us to walk right, to do right, and to be right in your eyes. Thank you so much. The altars are open. There's many here already praying. God has been good to our church. God is calling servants from this place. He is still winning people in this church. God is not done here, and He will not be done here until the day Jesus Christ comes through the clouds and calls us home. We've got a work to do. We've got a place to serve. We have a people to reach. And God is using us, and He's using you. I'm so thankful that I get to work with the people that I get to work with. I got some great teammates. I got some people that like to play hurt. Well, they might not like to play, but they'll play hurt. And they'll keep going. I appreciate, you know what, that helps me to keep going on. Well, if so-and-so can play hurt, I can play hurt. And I keep going. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your love for your Savior. Thank you for your love of lost souls and wanting to reach them. Thank you for giving. Thank you for obeying God and tithing. Thank you for going above and beyond and giving more in missions and how that has ticked up and gotten so much better. Thank you for not giving up when it's been hard. Thank you for not caving in when life got difficult and when trials and tribulations just seemed to bear over you like an overwhelming flood and you kept going. Thank you. This preacher appreciates it. This preacher is encouraged by that. Saying, hey, you know what? If you play, I'm going to play. And I hope that you see when I go through tough times, I hope that encourages you as well. And that you keep going and you keep serving. You know what? We'll cross that finish line when Jesus says, come on home! And man, so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's going to be a good day. Talk about a victory party. It's going to be good. Ms. Gwen, thank you. Let's pray. Thank you all for being here tonight. Hey, listen. Junior camp's fun. Senior camp's fun. And if you get a chance to go, you need to go. Because I'm telling you, it's almost like stepping into a whole nother world. Because you're coming out of the world. You just fill up your tank of gas and you see all this filth and junk all over the place. And all of a sudden you walk into something that's clean and pristine and just pure. And there's no filth. There's no junk. There's no inlet to it as well. And you see a bunch of kids dressed right, acting right, doing right, respecting their elders, singing songs, sitting down, memorizing scripture. Wow! Man, that's encouraging. That'll keep you going. Boy, that'll keep your tank full right there, buddy. That's good. Brother McDaniels, thank you so much, you and your wife, what y'all do. Would you please dismiss us in a word of prayer? Don't forget Vacation Bible School. Grab you some flyers. Hey, listen, that's our next race right here is getting those kids in here. So if you can help, please help. And come see me if you have any ideas or something. We have practice Monday night and work day all week this week. If you can come at 10 o'clock, if you can make it, appreciate it. Official work day is coming up Saturday, 10 to 2, and then another practice Monday night. Hey, listen, it's time to kick it in. It's getting there. We need your help if you can come. Brother McDaniels.